simple. I'm so glad that Jesus made it simple. You know, I'm glad he made it simple and he didn't, you know, give us some kind of test or quiz. And he breaks it down and he makes it so simple for us that even a child can grasp. He said, not many wise get this, but the simple, the commoners. You know, not many strong. I'm glad it's not an agility test. You know, the older I get, you know. You know, it's not based upon our strength or how many reps we can do or how fast we can run. But it's based upon his love. It's based upon his spirit. And it's based upon faith and believing and trusting in him. He shows us these things. He's so good. In chapter 3, we left off last week. And I'm just going to go through this and keep it simple. As Jesus intended it to be. But last week we seen how Jesus, you know, introducing to Nicodemus that he must be born again. We talked about how, you know, the necessity of new spiritual life, spiritual birth, being born of the Spirit. And, you know, how he grants, and only he grants spiritual life. But Jesus, you know, explaining these things to Nicodemus, Nicodemus is still confused. Nicodemus, you know, represents the natural man. He's coming. Last week we talked about him being a seeker. But it doesn't matter who you are in the natural birth and order in the flesh. You come to God, you come before God, you have to be born again. And he's still confused. Jesus says you have to be born again. And Nicodemus, how can these things be? You know, how can they be? It doesn't make any sense. And I see him every time. He almost scratches his head. How can these? We used to have a Chuck Kaltwasser, you know, a brainiac kind of guy, a scientist, and lived with us. And he would have the stupidest look sometimes when it came to spiritual things. You know, how can these things be? I can't understand them. And that's why I'm grateful that Jesus makes it so simple for us to understand. He says, you know, how can these things be? And, you know, again, he asked that question in verse 9. These things meaning what Jesus just talked about, the need to be born again. You know, the two times in this passage, Jesus mentions born again, that phrase that we talk about, you know, them freaky Christians. And three times he mentions being born of the Spirit, spiritual birth and renewal. And Nicodemus, how can these things be? How can they be enacted in me? How can I understand them? How can I live them? And he breaks it down, these things. Jesus, when he goes on to explain to Nicodemus about these things, he mentions that they're heavenly things. And they're things that the natural mind cannot grasp. You know, he said, oh, if I taught you earthly things you don't understand, how will you understand or believe if I tell you heavenly things? And he makes that distinction that the spiritual life and the spiritual birth that he grants to us, being born again, comes from heaven. It's heavenly. Thus, unattainable in our natural state. It's mysterious. As he was explaining to Nicodemus, yea, the wind blows where it wishes, you hear the sound of it, you know, you cannot tell where it comes from nor where it goes. It's invisible. The spiritual life, the spiritual birth, being born again, the life of the Spirit. Kind of mysterious. It's marvelous. Yet, it's invisible. It's from heaven. And yet, it's from heaven, and he tells that to Nicodemus, and yet he still tells him, do not marvel that I tell you, you must be born again. There's an expectation that we understand about spiritual life and being born again and living in the Spirit and the life of the Spirit, though it's mysterious, though it's spiritual. He said, do not marvel. He breaks it down, makes it simple that we can know it. It's interesting, you know, when Jesus confronted him about knowing. He said, are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Come on. He wants us to know these things. And they're obtainable. And he desires that we live them. Spiritual life to plug in. How can these things be? Nicodemus questions, and Jesus breaks down simply in this passage. You know, they're spiritual. They come via revelation only. It takes him to open our eyes, the Bible tells us. You know, he says, you know, that in verse 13, he says that no one has ascended to heaven but he who first came down from heaven. This revelation is from heaven. It's heavenly. Mysterious, marvelous, heavenly, spiritual. But it came via and only comes via Jesus Christ. No one, he says, has ascended to heaven. No one's qualified to reveal these things to us but Jesus, because he's from heaven. Heavenly things, spiritual life, the kingdom of God. No one else can. Not Muhammad. Not Joseph Smith, not Cabrera. And yet, only Jesus is qualified to show us, to open our eyes. And it's a revelation. It's revealing. We can't obtain it through our mind. We can't, you know, come to the knowledge of it. He opens our eyes and our understanding. He just shows us. Kind of like, you know, it's interesting. Remember when he, Nathaniel came to him, he says, behold, an Israelite by in whom there is no guile. And Nathaniel says, you know, how do you know me? He says, I seen you before Philip called you sitting under that fig tree. Oh, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. And then in verse 51, notice what Jesus said. He said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He tells Nathanael, hey, follow me and you shall see. It's a revelation. And Nicodemus came to him and, you know, hey, with questions about how can I obtain life, eternal life, the life you have, Jesus, basically is the implication. And Jesus tells him, unless you're born again, you cannot see. Jesus is the one that causes us to see. It's a revelation. It's based upon a revelation that only he can bring. Hereafter, you're going to see the Son of Man as the ladder, the fulfillment of the ladder, as he fulfills Jacob's dream, we noted a couple weeks ago. He's the mediator. He's the door. Notice when Jesus tells Nathanael, he says, hereafter, you're going to see heaven open. Only Jesus opens up heaven to us, heavenly things. Revelation. Spiritual life. In order to see Nicodemus, you have to be born again. Here's a verse that we go to often. And turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And I'm not going to apologize for going here and quoting it so often. It's kind of like the doorway into the spiritual realm. And it's the reality that's broken down for us. I'm not going to apologize. And I'm sorry I'm not going to apologize. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look in verse 9. Paul, when breaking down the faith to the Corinthians, says, you know, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You can't see them. You can't understand them. You can't perceive them. You can't obtain them in your own strength. Then he goes on in verse 10, but God has revealed them, revelation, to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Jesus, the only one qualified to reveal the things to us, the only one from heaven, came to let us know, to let us see, to give us life. It comes. The first thing, as Nicodemus asks about, you know, how can these things be? Jesus, you know, clarifies that they come via a revelation, these things. Our understanding, and you know, Never lose that. I'm going to keep it really simple because we need to keep it simple. We start to learn a few things and we lose where the door is, where the connection is. And it comes via a revelation only. How can these things be? He asked Jesus, and really Jesus, in breaking it down, making it simple, he gives the means and the method and the motive of these things. In verse 14, notice Jesus drawing a likeness or a type or an example. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Nicodemus, spiritual birth, spiritual life, comes from this type. And again, let's turn to Numbers, or I'll turn there and read it to you. But it's an example that Jesus gives out of the book of Numbers, chapter 21, when the people in the wilderness were complaining and grumbling. So God sent in serpents, snakes, poisonous snakes that bit them. Some of them died. And in order to be healed or rescued, or the remedy to the poison, in verse 5, chapter 21, and the people spoke against God and against Moses, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water. Our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was, if the serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked on the bronze serpent, he lived. Look on it, and you shall live. And Jesus giving, you know, the type, the example from this story, he said, you know, the means by which these things can be spiritual life, spiritual new birth, spiritual understanding, is just as Moses, you know, lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. He gives this example how they took that serpent. Moses was instructed, put it on top of a banner pole, erected in the center of the camp, and then spread the word. The answer lies in just looking at the serpent. Look and live. And Jesus, giving the example, relates it to him on the cross. How can these things be? Look and live. It's by faith. It's the means by which he gives. The answer to Nicodemus is the cross, his death and resurrection. At the end of that verse, you know, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Interesting, you know, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, as the same way as the serpent was erected in the center of the camp to be looked at and lived. How we gain our life, how we obtain our life, through revelation, by the cross, looking at it, believing it, accepting him. Interesting, when John mentions him being lifted up, he repeats, you know, this phrase, but it's always exclusive to the cross through the Gospel of John. And chapter 8, and John verse 28, he says, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Chapter 12, two times he mentions in verse 32, chapter 12, and if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Verse 34, the Son of Man must be lifted up, he says. You know, so often you hear that, if we lift him up, you know, in a way of exalting him. If we exalt the name of Jesus and we lift him up, he'll draw all men to himself. But Jesus clearly makes the reference and points to the cross. When I'm lifted up, I shall be lifted up. It's the cross that draws people. It's the cross that brings the answer. It's the cross by the means by which these things can be. As Nicodemus asks, how can these things be? He talks about the cross. He talks about being lifted up upon the cross as the means. Look and live. He gives the type, an example. The means by which he accomplishes these things, his death, his resurrection. And us believing and trusting and looking and living. Spiritual life is a direct result from the cross, from his death, from his resurrection. The method by which these things can be. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? There is spiritual revelation. The cross is the means by which they're made possible. But how can these things be? The method. Jesus, again, simply puts it that whoever believes in him, in verse 15, he goes on, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's through belief. We know that. It's simple. We're covering familiar ground and territory, aren't we? And yet, it's simple, and yet so deep. He offers us the means by which we tap in and connect to him via the revelation, by the cross and his work upon the cross, and through our belief and faith. I remember reading a phrase, faith comes in cans. Unbelief comes in cannots. we live in a plastic world, and yet faith comes in cans. He's our answer. And how we connect to him, it's through believing. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, have everlasting life. The word believes in the Greek is an active, it's in the active sense. Those who trust in him, those who commit their lives to him, tap in, connect to, last week we talked about how it's reciprocal, how Jesus knows what's in man. He knew what's in Nicodemus. He knows what's in me. He knows what's in you. He knows our motive and why we come to him, why we serve him, why we praise him. But a heart of belief, a heart of trust and committing oneself to him, he answers. And he answers with life, eternal life, the quality of life that Nicodemus was asking about, that only he can give. His life alive in us, eternal life. And again, it speaks of, eternal life. It's not in the sense of duration or the length of life. It's in the quality of life. He who believes in me can, share his life. By faith, it's the can opener. How can these things be? Faith makes these things possible. The motive, he goes on, keeping it simple. He says in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Because I like this, because Jesus, we hear it all the time. It's probably the most quoted verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But it's Jesus here trying to make known God's love. God's love is behind the whole thing. It's God's love that sent forth his Son to die upon the cross. The motive behind, how can these things be, is God's love. He loves us. He sent his Son to be sacrificed. You can't, go beyond that, his love. The motive for God so loved, it's in the positive purpose that he sent his Son to be sacrificed. It's interesting in this passage, there's some musts, How can these things be? He tells Nicodemus, unless one is born again. And he goes on, you must be born again. It's not an option. It's, you know, how can these things be? There is no alternative. You have to be born again. He goes on to say, this, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man. He must be lifted up. The cross. You have to be born again. And via that life comes only by the cross, the Bible tells us. And then later on, when John talks about John the Baptist and his witness, look in verse 30. We're not going to read the passage, but notice what John's understanding is. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. The must of spiritual life. We must be born again. Jesus, and he had to be lifted up on the cross in order to bring us spiritual life. And we, as John the Baptist says, we must decrease in our life. He must increase. He calls us to grow in the spiritual life and understanding, and to grow in our, not just be born again and remain a baby. He wants us to grow through our infancy, childhood, spiritual child, adult. Cut our teeth as we grow spiritually and stop whining, and to grow up and to share with him. Lord, help us. Grow. That's his. We must increase. He must increase in us. We must decrease. John the Baptist repeating one of the musts of spiritual life. Interesting. His desire to increase. As he goes on in this passage, one of my favorite verses, whenever the bill is $3.17, I usually say, hey, for God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God's intent and purpose, he didn't come to condemn. That's so, eye-opening revelation, because he loves us. He's not against us. He's out to save us. He's out to free us, liberate us. And he states this to Nicodemus. God's plan is not to condemn. It's not to judge. This word, condemn, krino in the Greek, is to try or condemn or punish or to sentence, to judge, to decree damnation. He's not out to judge or blame or come against. Jesus, in the purpose of his coming, wasn't to point his finger and, lay a trip on us. He's out to free us from sin. He's out to liberate us and free our soul to live in him, with him, in a spiritual revelation, knowing him, and knowing his love, knowing his power. Verse 18, he goes on. As Jesus, makes reference to condemnation, those that are condemned. And not his intent to bring condemnation, but he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He makes a distinction between the believers and the non-believers. Those that have and those that have not. And he says, those that don't believe, they're already condemned. The state of condemnation that he doesn't come to bring and tries to deliver us from, mankind is in, lives in. I think of being condemned. I think of, the houses in Detroit. I think of the city of Detroit. What a mess. I think of the Detroit Tigers. I think of Detroit and the blight and the houses and the houses with the windows boarded up, and the trees and the foliage all grown up around the house, and they're not livable and they're not there to be used for the purpose that they were built for, and the state of condemnation. He who doesn't believe, they're condemned already. I've come to set free, to build a new house, basically what the Bible tells us, but not to condemn. and the distinction, he who believes and he who doesn't. Now, and, you know, Nicodemus says, how can these things be? But this is really the answer to this question, how these things can't be. That's not believing, refusing, rejecting, turning your back on him. He goes on, you know, because man loves darkness rather than light. You know, you get a picture of someone that, you know, is facing the sunshine, and then they turn around from the sun. And then really, you're engulfed in your own shadow, your own darkness. You just keep on, you know, getting darker. And you live with the rejection and because of the sin. It's because of the sin. They, you know, don't turn to me. They love darkness rather than light. And sin and the condemning, you know, aspects that sin brings. How Jesus came not to condemn but to set us free. The light has come, but men love darkness rather than light. It's interesting, Nicodemus, you know, he came to Jesus and he gives a type of a seeker, but he's so well-rounded in an example because religion's not enough. He was extremely religious. You know, he was a Pharisee. He was a part of the Sanhedrin, a ruler of the Jews, extremely religious. Yet he's coming to Jesus looking for life, coming to the right place, but knowing he couldn't find the answer. We can't find the answer in religion. He came and he said, oh, Rabbi, oh, great teacher, you know, we know that you have come from God because of the signs you do. But, you know, the teacher and the great teacher is not enough. We need a savior. We need his life. We need the Spirit of God. We need to connect with him. It comes via revelation. He opens it up to us. He kind of makes it so simple here for us to see it. Comes from the cross, the effect of the cross, not any work that we do, but by grace. And we need to be regenerated. Or this whole passage speaks about, you know, the new birth, being born again. And Nicodemus, again, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. He could say that to us, you know, right in our face. Unless you're born again, you're not going to get a glimpse. And yet, here he is, the religious. He's the teacher, you know, of these things, Jesus says. And yet he falls short. And how much we need him. And, you know, the need to be born again. You know, we can learn. One of the dangers about going to church is you start to learn, you know, pick up the Christian cliches. And then some churches will teach you, hey, the Christian principles, how to be a Christian. As if you can be a Christian, you know, in your own strength. And, you know, the Reformation, be reformed. I'm going to teach you how to be a Christian. That's ridiculous. We can't be reformed. We have to be reborn. We have to be regenerated. It's not something we can do. We need to be transformed. We need a new house. We need a spirit within us. He knew that. He knew there was something he lacked. He becomes a great example for us. It's more than the law. He was a teacher of the law. He lived in the Pharisee, ruler of Sanhedrin. It's life. Jesus talks of, you know, the law, the spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. It's spiritual birth. It's regeneration. The flesh will never change. And that's what we have to contend with. Our old, John Corson shows, tells a story about these two gentlemen or these two men having a conversation or a disagreement that one can learn to be a gentleman and one can only be born a gentleman. So they go before the king and they present their arguments. So the king says, you guys work it out, get some examples, come back, we'll settle the matter. So the one guy that, you know, sees a pig, it was a cat. A cat dressed up in a tuxedo that was able to serve tea. He says, oh man, this is going to solve my problem. I won this argument. He's got a cat. You can teach a cat to be a gentleman, basically. And he bought the cat from the pet store. He took it back the next day to the king. Well, the other guy seen something at another pet store, and he grabs it, and he says, oh, yeah, this will work. He puts it in a box, brings it to the king. So they go before the king, and he says, "See, king?" He breaks out his cat. "Look, he serves tea. Look, he learned to be a gentleman. This person learned to be a Christian." Well, the other guy actually bought some mice. So he opens up the box, and he sets the mice free, and the cat lost all composure. He lost it. He showed his true nature. He's not, you can't learn to be a Christian. You can't, you know, be a Christian in your own strength. Jesus said, you have to be born again. It's by His life, it's His Spirit in us that transforms, that regenerates. It's His, and it's so simple how He, you know, presents this. Connect. You can connect by faith. And it's the only way you can. Not many wise. How can these things be? Nicodemus asks, and Jesus, praise God, simply breaks it down. He beginning with, there's no one has ascended, descended from it. No one comes from heaven but Jesus. Only Jesus is qualified to tell us these things, to show us these things. Only Jesus comes from heaven. And the means by which, how can these things be? Is by His death, only by the cross. You know, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Death and resurrection, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The method by which we connect is by faith. Those who believe in Him, they connect and trust and rely upon Him. In the simple truth, are the ones that live, are the ones that make it. You can't make it otherwise. You must be born again. And the motive, God's love. You know, it's so cool to realize how much God loves us. You know, we often think of Jesus and we set Him apart. We think, oh, Jesus came. He became a man. You know, we have a great high priest now that He can sympathize with us because in all points He was tempted, yet without sin. He became a man, and now He can relate to us. He loves us now because He became one of us. No, it's God who sent Him. Jesus lets us know it's God's love behind the whole plan. And the must, you know, we must be born again. He must be lifted up, and we must decrease. Let's stand. He must increase, John the Baptist tells us. I love, you know, spiritual dynamics and the truth of how simple it is. Because I would never get it, in all truth. You know, but it's the way that anyone comes and anyone gets it. Let's pray. Father, we do come before You and seeking. Lord, we seek that You sort out our understanding and our relationship with You, that we would connect on the right basis, not on the basis of law, not on our behavior, not on the basis of what we do or what we've done, but on the basis of the cross and on the basis of Your shed blood. Do we connect? And Lord, we do. As we come before You this morning, we seek, Lord, Your life, Your Spirit, Your love, Your power. And Lord, do minister clearly. And the truth of why You came, not to condemn the Son of Man. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You came to save us, to rescue us. Lord, cause us to know and understand clearly, and only You are qualified to save us, to show us these things. And Lord, do increase in our understanding, in our lives. Show us, Lord, we need Your Spirit, Your life, Your power, not some energy drink to renew our own. We need You, Lord, in Your presence, and Your Spirit in our life, and Your plan and Your will for our life, Your guidance. And Lord, we ask that we not just read these things and go over them in our head, Lord, but that you would plant your word in our hearts, and that we would decrease and that you would increase for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.